Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. And today we're exploring three stories. Well, this week we're exploring three stories of people who encountered the good news about Jesus and acted very differently. Yesterday we saw the story of Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman who encountered some early Christian evangelists, people telling the good news of Jesus, and decided that this would transform her life, the life of her household, and the life of her community around her, and that she would use her resources to help advance that message. That was the way Lydia, a wealthy businesswoman, responded to the message of Jesus, and I'm glad she did. Because today we're going to see a very different story in the same community of how people reacted to the good news of Jesus when it started to threaten their business interests. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when the owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. When they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, what a strange story, right? We've got Paul and companions going and spreading the good news about Jesus, and this strange woman possessed by an evil spirit following them around saying things that should be pretty good and true. She's saying good things about them, right? These are men of the Most High God and got great news to share. And yet it seems to be a problem for Paul, who gets annoyed by this and commands the demon out of her. Clearly, he's identified something wrong in the situation. Maybe her words are true, but she's saying them in a mocking tone. Or maybe the words are true and she's saying them for all the wrong reasons, to distract people from the actual message, maybe. Either way, it seems that there is something definitely wrong with this. And so Paul goes and does something incredible. He commands the demon to leave her, evil spirit, and it does. He does her a great favor. She's had the spirit. It's been abusing her. Other people have been abusing her because of it, trying to use it for fortune telling and making money off of her. He releases her from that slavery to both the spirit and to the evil men who would use her. And this should be a really good thing. This is like my first aid team having a defibrillator. They mean only good by casting that demon out of her. But then we see that there's a major problem. The people who've been making money off of her are not happy at the lost business opportunities that these guys preaching about Jesus represent. And so they drag Paul and Silas before the rulers, the magistrates, and they get them thrown in jail by inciting a crowd against them. Clearly, these are influential people who are able to whip up a crowd and who are able to get their way in front of rulers and magistrates to get these men thrown into jail. And it seems like this is a disaster. This is terrible. They got in trouble with the wrong people who lost money because of their good news. And this is going to set them back. But there are actually a few surprises up Paul and Silas's sleeves. This isn't an uncommon situation where the Christian message upsets the status quo. Here are these men who are using vulnerable people for their own financial gain. And the Christian message, good as it is, about freedom for people like her, upsets the status quo for them. If Christianity manages to get a foothold in this community, they've just lost not just the slave girl who they were using, but everybody who was buying her services as well. This is a major blow to an industry like theirs or any industry that abuses people in ways completely inconsistent with the message of Jesus Christ. You can imagine the same thing happens around prostitution, around drugs and things like that. Sometimes the Christian church gets in the way of people who are using and abusing others. And even though it is a good message of love and hope for the world, not everybody wants to hear it. Just recently, I found myself in the same room with some people who are missionaries overseas and weren't even wanting to talk about where they were serving because if people knew, they might put them at risk, because they were serving in a very dangerous country, in a dangerous part of the world, where the Christian message was most definitely unwelcome and would most definitely upset the status quo. They had to keep quiet about this, and they asked people not to share it on social media or anything like that, because if their names were associated with that country, they might not get back into the country again in order to continue doing good work there, or the people they've been serving might be attacked, persecuted, even killed if people found out that they were learning about Jesus, had Bibles, or had a house church meeting regularly to worship Jesus. This kind of thing still happens today, where the good news of Jesus, good as it is, upsets the status quo and can become very dangerous for those who proclaim it, like Paul and Silas in this story. Other times, Christians will find themselves in trouble because of other influential people in other contexts. I just read the story of a woman in the UK who once shared a pamphlet with somebody she worked with, a pamphlet describing Christianity, and is now finding herself out of a job because she did that in a public environment, a hospital. There are certainly people with influence in every culture who would rather not see Christianity proclaiming its good news, or at least what we consider to be good news, in the public square. I was reading a news article recently about the new prostitution laws in Canada and how some Christian groups disagree on whether it's good legislation or not, whether it protects the vulnerable or whether it victimizes them. And it's an important discussion to have. And the very first comment I saw in this online article said, "Separation of church and state, begin." Now, first of all, separation of church and state is not a Canadian law or principle in any way. It's an American one. But even that aside, I think what that person was trying to say is basically that Christians should never have any opinion on the laws of our country. And that's completely ridiculous. But there are always people in our culture who will use their influence, even if it's limited to commenting on online news articles, which is not that influential, but still, who will use whatever influence they've got to say that Christians should not have a voice in the public square. It happens, unfortunately. And happened then, it happens still today. Well, back to Paul and Silas, it looks like they're absolutely stuck. They've been arrested, thrown in jail, they're chained down. It looks like they've got no hope, but in fact, there are going to be some surprises, and we'll see that tomorrow. But first, I've got a question I'd love for you to think about and discuss with some neighbors, friends, colleagues, or fellow commuters. Hopefully you can form a group that meet regularly. You don't have to watch the videos together, but whenever you are together, you can discuss what you've been learning from the videos. So your question is, how does the Christian faith threaten influential groups in our culture? What would they have to change if they decided to follow Jesus and be transformed by his Holy Spirit? And why are they so resistant? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.